Evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 11 October 2022. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 370. Let us compose our mind, develop our faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhusyan Pusa. Namo Bhusyan Pusa. Namo Bhusyan Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, you can be seated. And we shall turn the page 3 of the chanting book. And we will continue with our Padipa Puja Chanting. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarpa ditena, ditena tamadang sina, diloka dipang sambudang, Pujayami tamonudam gandha sambarayutena dumpenaham sukanghina pujaye pujaniyam tam puja bhajana mottamam vanna gandha gunupetam etam kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang putsumena nena bonena matena cha hotu mokang bupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mottamang adivasetu no bante bhojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mottamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, and sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then we shall off the light so that you can have your half an hour awareness space meditation to start off with. The training of the mind to be aware is very important. If you can do this very often, it will help you stabilize the heedful mind. Okay, so the usual support, the four support, especially the first three, relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness for as long as you can. And the last support is trust. So ability to be in a relaxed state of mindfulness is very important. So here, relax means completely relax body and mind. Feel yourself at peace, at ease, with no issue, no problem, nothing. The Mandarin word is very good. Fang song, relax, fang song, means just relax. Then maintain awareness. So whatever mind state that arise, whether it's a tension or it's a tightness or any situation like stress or whatever that arise, you just relax into it. Especially if you are doing thought-based meditation, concentration, you may feel your brain there is tightness, tension. We are after a tired day, most people are not relaxed. So wherever there is tension, tightness, or stress, you just relax into it. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed. So a good way to do it is to visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate a radiant smile, you are very naturally relaxed. And whatever you do, whether anapanasati or any of the object of meditation that you are familiar with, you tend to build up energy or stress, or what they call a conditioned state of mind. So whatever mind state that arises, whether it is focusing or concentrating or development of energy, you just relax into it, feel it soothingly relax. Whatever mind state that arises, relax into it, just relax. Then after that, maintain awareness. Because we have a form of mind, the physical body with its sense basis, and the consciousness trapped within. So it's only natural that off and on, you will receive a lot of tactile or sense door contact. So all this contact of mind with the sense basis, together with the sense data that come in, the respective sense data that come in, will make you conscious. You can be conscious of your hearing, smell, taste, or tactile. And you can also be conscious of your thinking, thought process. So that ability to be conscious is what the form of mind is all about. Upon contact or sense basis, sense data in the mind, the respective consciousness will arise. So that consciousness that arises, if you are mindful without any thought process or mind states, it just aware of that process, which is a natural arising of that consciousness, like hearing. In the hearing, it's only that consciousness that arises, like the physics experiment. In the seeing, also same, it's only the seeing consciousness. There is only that consciousness that is conscious. There is no one to see, no one to hear. So stay with the silent mind to be aware. When you are aware, you will understand why there is nobody inside. Because it's just nature's phenomena, dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena. Then as you become more and more familiar, more and more stable, then you will understand. Basically, everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. He know you, he know me. There is no permanent unchanging entity within. Yeah, that is a delusion. So to believe that you exist, there is a thinker behind the thought, is a delusion. Because the whole form and mind is actually a phenomenon. Condition arising entity, dependent originating, causal phenomena, not what you think. So the purpose of awareness-based meditation is to develop awareness of all this, to understand all this, so that you come to a clear understanding of who you are, what you are. Then when you understand who you are and what you are, you will understand how you function as a human being. How the law of dependent origination, the Paticca-samuppada, dwelling that the Buddha taught, they are occurring every instant, every moment within your own form and mind. See it, understand it, then awaken to it. That's how you develop wisdom, insight. When you can insight into phenomena and awaken to their universal characteristic, knowing that they are all causal phenomena, dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent changing entity that you can grasp onto, hold on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. Well, that entity is actually just a phenomenon supported by causes and conditions. When causes and conditions continue to exist, that form and mind continue to sustain this existence. But when causes and conditions cease to be, the form and mind separate and cease, then you call it death. Actually, there is no one inside there to die. It's just a phenomenon cease to be. Just like my voice, when the supporting condition no more exists. So realize that, understand that, and awaken to that. There is a nature within us that is independent of causes. The awareness nature doesn't need causes and conditions to arise. So realize that. When everything ceases, when the thought process, the thinking, the sankhara activity, everything ceases, then what is it that is aware of that stillness, that tranquility? The silence. For consciousness to arise, especially vibration, sound, voice, everything, you need causes and conditions for it to trigger. But this one, when there is no movement, no activity, then that nature, that tranquility, that stillness, that complete silence within nature, without condition, how did the arising of the awareness arise? Which means when you have the ability to stay with the awareness nature, then you realize the awareness nature has been there all the time. It is from the awareness nature that the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the aggregates of mind, they manifest. That's why from that nature, all things arise. So that nature within us, you need to realize it, develop the understanding of it through this awareness-based meditation. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully. come out of meditation. Just maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that we need for us to develop the daily mindfulness, to stabilize it. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation for the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiokawalisu Atraha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasvanan kalo ayam padanta Dhammasvanan kalo ayam badanta Dhammasvanan kalo ayam badanta Innamo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho Ija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sandhitiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pajatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Yayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Yadidang chatari purisa yogane Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Now we will continue from page 370 of the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta text. And the Samadhi or liberation, meaning the states of Samadhi were so high and so deep, they could not be phantom. The task someone has profoundly enter them without boundary. They, meaning there is no limit to them. Then the next part of the sutta is accomplishing all those dhamma never had before. Meaning he is able to accomplish all those dhammas which has never been seen before. The samadhis which have never been realized before. Then next part of the sutta. Sariputta, the Thus-come one is able to make various discrimination, cleverly speaking all dhammas. His speech is gentle, and he delights the heart of the multitudes. Sariputta, essentially speaking, the Buddha has fully accomplished all of those unlimited, boundless dhamma, which has never been before. Then we go to the commentaries. The outline of the commentary is praising the two wisdom has been beyond description. Then basis for this praise, then there is another basis, that which is beyond description. Okay, commentaries. Sakyamuni Buddha calls out once again. He says, Sariputta, the Thus-come one is able to make various discrimination. Meaning the Buddha, the world-honored one, is skilled at discriminating the real mark of all dhammas. What is meant by dhamma? The dhamma is a method. He speaks the method in an ingenious way. You can lead your listener to accept your teachings or doctrines. That is clever speech. If you speak clumsily, you may talk them out of believing. Basically, it was something they enjoy doing. But by the time you are done talking about it, they no longer want to do it. That's clumsy, awkward speech. If they did not want to do something, and you talk to them into it, that would be clever speech. This is Chen Hua's way of sharing it. The sixth patriarch, the great master Hui Ning, could not read where he said illiterate. But he was able to speak all Dhamma ingeniously. Once there were two people who were arguing. One of them said the wind was moving, and the other said the flag was moving. They argued back and forth for a long time. The sixth patriarch then said to them, the wind isn't moving, and the flag isn't moving. Your mind are moving. When your mind moves, the flag moves and the wind moves. But if your mind don't move, then nothing moves. That's clever speech. If you know how to cultivate the way, you can do it. You can do so in all your activities. And you are always in samadhi. You will always be in samadhi. How did the sixth patriarch become enlightened? He was a firewood gatherer in the mountains. He took his bundle into town, sold them, and used the money to support his mother. He did this out of the sense of fellow piety. He did not sit in meditation and investigate Dhamma. He did not sit in meditation and investigate Dhyan. When he went to the monastery of the fifth patriarch, what do you think happened? The fifth patriarch ordered him to pound rice. He pounded rice all day long. He had no time to meditate or study. the Buddha Dharma. He did not recite a single sentence of a mantra or sit once in meditation, but he became enlightened. How did he become enlightened? In everything he did, he worked with a single mind. He did not strike out false thinking because he made his mind one-pointed. He gained genuine samadhi. No matter what people do, you can make their mind one-pointed. They can obtain samadhi and become enlightened. You don't necessarily have to sit in Dhyan meditation. So this one is talking about the daily mindfulness type of samadhi. It's not the one-pointedness that he mentioned. That one is the thought based on. Actually, samadhi is not one-pointedness. Samadhi is when your mind is collected and unwavering. Then you have samadhi. Samadhi means the awareness nature is very stable. The thinking, the sankara activity does not arise. That is samadhi. Yeah. But when you are in the midst of life, your senses are functioning. The sense or consciousness are functioning. That's why the awareness nature can be aware of them. Then when you want to live life, you have to arise the thinking, the thought process. That's why all this, the cultivator of the way will understand. So most of the time, their mind is quiet, tranquil, and still. Because that is their true mind, their true nature. They only arise the thinking when they need to use the thought process to develop activity, means to communicate or to interact with the world, with people, and sometimes to explain things. Yeah. So to do all this, you need words, you need the thought process, you need the mundane mind. Whereas that true mind, that true nature, need not have any activity or movement. That nature is very beautiful on its own, tranquil and still. And that nature is fully aware, can see things as they are, can observe on its own, without reaction, without any activity or thinking. That nature just aware. And through its awareness, it develops understanding. It can insight into phenomena and awaken. That's why awareness-based meditation is very different from thought-based meditation. Because when thought is active, there is no awareness. And without awareness, you cannot understand things. Because you are preoccupied with your thinking activity, you are lost in thought. You are not with your awareness nature, silent, completely still. To develop the ability to be aware of what is going on within nature, to see the movement, the activity, to see the conditioned worlds, nature's law that governs life and existence, to see clearly the causes and conditions behind the arising of all phenomena, their universal characteristic, etc. So all this, when you develop the understanding, then you will be able to have that ability. So samadhi is not the one-pointedness that I think the translator used for Xuanhua's case. So now we go back. His speech is gentle. That is the next part of the sutra. The Buddha speaks the Dhamma with very gentle words. He does not put a lot of pressure on people, saying things like, hey, do this. If you don't do it, you will be in trouble. He's not like me, Ms. Xuanhua. This unfair teacher, who has set down a very unfair law, I say that if any of you got angry, all parties involved had to kneel for 24 hours straight. Still, even though the law is unfair, I did not do it for selfish reason. It is a kind of ingenious method to keep you from getting angry. If you do not understand this Dhamma, you might find it unfair. But if you understand it, you will know that it is the most wonderful Dhamma indeed. So for Master Xuan Hua, I think his style is different. He tend to be very serious. And when he is very serious, he do things differently. That's why he like to reprimand the disciples and others. Sometimes he can be very strict and very harsh in his approach. But that is his character, his way. So what we need to understand is he tried to explain the sutta aspect which the Buddha mentioned. Cultivator like these great beings, the Buddha, they have very well-developed speeches, because of their cultivation, their wisdom, their virtue, their understanding. They are very thoughtful. They are very kind, very gentle, and very pleasant in their approach. So the way they deliver, they will know how to actually accord and flow. The understanding is accord and flow with condition. Everyone is different. When you understand everyone is different, then you cannot be rigid. You cannot like one size fit all. So that is the understanding that my teacher has come to understood. That's why he wants to share with you all, so that you all can develop the understanding. To be rigid or not to be rigid, to be straight or not, depend on the situation and the condition. But different people have their own different approach to sharing, to teaching. So when we understand all this, then we become different. Our nature will know how to manifest in accordance with conditions. That's why accord and flow with causes and condition within the condition world is very important. When there is no condition, the best thing is not to do anything. Maintain noble silence, smile, and be at ease. But when there is condition to speak, to share, to arise the attention, then manifest. After all, when you have the true understanding of the unconditioned Dhamma, you realize he no you, he no me. Nothing exists. Everything is dependent on originating condition, arising causal phenomena, just form and mind, no reality. Thing is just the way it is. So understanding wisdom is very important. The understanding will lead to our ability to communicate, to actually share. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is a very unique meditative approach or training to cultivation. When you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, they will lead to noble understanding, noble virtue, noble conduct. You are very noble in every aspect of life. That's why within the Noble Eightfold Path, you realize the first path factor is always the wisdom factor, samadhi, right view. So when you have right view, you have wisdom. Because in order to live life, to act, you need wisdom. So right view is wisdom, right understanding. That's why all these words have been used. To have the right understanding of what governs nature means the law that governs nature, the causes and conditions behind the arising of things. So to have this understanding is to have wisdom. That's why truth is whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. And that is Dhamma. So when we have this understanding, we can start. That's why the first power factor is always the wisdom factor. Samadhi, right view, right understanding. When we have this, then we can move to cultivate the next few noble eightfold power factor. So the first right view or right understanding or the wisdom factor is to make one very noble in his ability to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Means you understand life. You understand the causes and conditions behind the arising of all things. Then from there, you will know how to develop the understanding to live life. Before you understand life, you cannot live life. That's why from right view, the Buddha said, you must arise the right thought, the right speech, the right action, right livelihood. Then the four right effort. These are the morality aspect. The way we conduct ourselves. We have to be very noble in the way we interact with people, communicate with people. That's why right speech, right action. Then arising of right thought, then right livelihood. So ability to communicate, interact is part of the noble qualities of enlightened beings. That's why without right view, your thought can never be right. Without right view, your speech can never be gentle, right speech, appropriate, kind and gentle speeches. And your action, without the right view, you also cannot get it right. So all of pure action without the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion are right speeches. The way we act, the way we speak, the way we communicate and interact with the world, with society, with nature, with the environment, we need Noble Eightfold Path understanding. That's why after that, when all these things fall into place, then the four right effort is a natural consequence of the cultivation. Because without the right effort to constantly purify our action, speech, and thought process leading to right livelihood, we can never perfect the Noble Eightfold Path factor. So the four right effort will enable us to stabilize our defilement, root it out. Because the first right effort is to abandon them. When they arise ready, you have to abandon them. Then when you develop the mindfulness, the understanding, which is yoniso manasikara, then the second right effort can arise to prevent it from arising through wisdom, not to suppression or control. So the right effort to prevent the defilement from arising, which are the wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong thought, need wisdom, need yoniso manasikara, need understanding. So like just as Xuan Hua mentioned, he said, he come up with this harsh law. People may think it's unfair, because if one member of the group get angry, because anger is an evil root, and he take it very seriously. He introduced that rule. All the members in the group has to kneel for 24 hours to do repentance. So if you want to talk about fair and unfair, of course you will curse him and say, oh, somebody else make mistake, I also be part of the thing. I mean, this is his way and his approach to cultivation. But as far as my nature understand, the Buddha's approach is different. That's why the second right effort to prevent the arising of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, or even getting angry. It's an understanding. When you have understanding there is an evil root, it will make you evil, bring about karmic downfall that you naturally cannot do it. That's why the Buddha is very wise. All the precepts, the way he actually come out with the precept is very beautiful. He always said, we undertake the training rule to abstain from something. He never said, thou shalt not. Understand? Means you cannot do this, you cannot do that. You cannot kill, you cannot harm. No. He said, abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Abstain from lying, deceiving, cheating, being cunning and arresting. So we undertake that training rule. It's a training rule to abstain. Means we have to establish mindfulness and understand what constitutes evil to be able to develop this training. That's like the mindfulness training, the awareness training, and the learning of the teaching, pariyatti, is very important. Without all this understanding, you cannot undertake the training rule to do all this. That's why it's an exercise of mindfulness. Then after that is, of course, the third right effort. The third right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, and right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. That's why you develop them. You would cultivate to have them. Then after that, you apply the final right effort to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that you have started to develop. Then when you refine upon them until it can be perfected, then that is the final training. Once the four right effort fall into place, you have the embodiment of the first six power factors. Then you can assure that you will never fall. Means karmically, you will never fall. Your morality, sila, has been taken care of through right view, right understanding. But the wisdom part is still not there. That's why to have understanding of avoiding evil and doing good to bring about wholesome condition and good life is a very important aspect of cultivation, but it's not everything, because with that you still can have suffering despite all the good things. You might have taken care of karma, but when you confront the first noble truth reality, and these are reality of life and existence, the eight conditions. Without wisdom, you still suffer, especially sakkayadity. You can still become miserable, especially when one goes through old age, sickness and death. When one do not understand the reality of birth, with birth comes old age, sickness and death. Those who can see all this, they have cultivated before in the past. That's why the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I knew what this thing was. Then separation, everything. You need wisdom. You need to break free from sakkayadity, self-delusion. And that one is not easy. That's why the power factors 7 and 8 is most important. To develop wisdom, you need samasati and samasamadhi. Without sati, without mindfulness, awareness, you cannot insight in the phenomena. You cannot awaken. You cannot understand sakayaditi. You cannot understand the movement of the mundane mind, leading to all the entanglement, the grasping, the clinging. And because of that, living being develops suffering, affliction, misery. So all this understanding is very important. With samasati, you can observe, you can see all the movement, all the activity. Then you can connect and link it back to the essential Dhamma that the Buddha had taught us. When you start to see everything as dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena, then you start to understand the universal characteristics of impermanent. Means everything is in a state of flux, continuously manifesting, arising, sustaining, passing away. And when you have mindfulness to observe and see all this, then you realize the conditioned world is a conditioned Dhamma. Everything is within following this law, the law of dependent origination, means the dwelling, the paticca samuppada that the Buddha teach. Then when you see this, you start to understand that there is no permanent unchanging entity within. All phenomena exhibit the same universal characteristics. They are all conditioned arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Without causes and conditions, nothing arises, nothing manifests. That's why from the void, nothing can arise. But because of causes and conditions from nature or from other mind, mundane mind, then that energy, that delusion, still. Then the first order of ignorance starts the conditioning, the whole process, the movement. Then from there, you start to understand whatever that is impermanent, dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, will bring about suffering. Because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. You cannot tell the body to be forever young. Don't get sick, don't get old. It can't. Yeah, it goes the way of nature. When condition manifests, the elements within the physical body also manifest. That's why it goes the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die. That's how the Buddha taught us the five daily contemplation, the first three. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death, because this one is not a permanent and changing entity. It's not an atta where you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Yeah. There is no such thing. Yeah. Then because it is impermanent, you attach and cling and grasp and hold on to things or want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will manifest. That's why the outcome of seeing impermanence through mindfulness will allow you to insight into the second universal characteristics of suffering and the third universal characteristics of anatta nature. Anatta means it's not a permanent unchanging entity. And because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why for a living being, it's called non-self. Not self. Yeah. But the Buddha used the word non-self because it is neither the two extremes. The two extremes is one is self, the other one is no self. Yeah. So this one also very important, I have to explain a bit. Self means, if this is self, then that self can manifest in whatever way it wants, then you can have control over it. You say, I want it to be such, it will be such. Well, itself, you have control over it. But the Buddha says, within the conditional world, there is no such thing. So there is one wrong view, one aspect of delusion, one extreme, which can easily be proven. Through silencing your mind, investigating, you will see. Then the other one is no self, completely, nothing inside there. But as we know, the conditioned world has a lot of activity, a lot of things. That's why this form of mind, the living being or the human being for our case, it is non-self, not no self or self. That's why it's in between. And to see this is not easy. To awaken to this is not easy. Which means, according to the Buddha, the five aggregates of form and mind, or the so-called human being that we call ourselves, like in my case, you call this Vedatio, the five aggregates of form and mind. This is not me. But I cannot deny it's connected to my karmic nature, because this is the product of my karmic nature. This form and mind is karmically conditional from my karmic nature. Then it comes to this existential world, then it manifests and it continues to grow and become what it is. Then within it, there is a physical aspect that have the sense basis and the consciousness trapped inside. Then these two, together with the life force, animate it into a living being, or in our case, a human being, become my functional body that perform the function of my nature. So the Buddha called this Nimanakaya, the functional body. So this functional body is not what we think. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's not a self. And it's also not completely nothingness, no self, no. It is only non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. But there is such thing as a living being. There is such thing as a human being, which is subject to karma, which can enable our nature to come and live life and to perform all these things. So this understanding is the secret of the Buddhist teaching. And this one is very difficult to comprehend unless you really cultivate. Unless you cultivate and develop the clear understanding, it is not easy. That's why people who do thought-based meditation without a good grasp of all this understanding through mindfulness, awareness, through the correct awareness-based meditation, they can never comprehend. That's why to them it's like very contradictory. Yeah. On the one side, everything doesn't exist in true emptiness. On the other side, the Buddha say, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Then he said, that is not you, anatta, and all those things. That's why I make people very confused. Then in true emptiness, the four noble truths also not there. All is sickness and death, but also not there. No mark of this and that, everything. So how can living being understand? How can living being develop the wisdom to break free and liberate, to understand all this? It's not easy, really, not easy. That's why here is where the beauty of the teaching of the Buddha is. That's why I want to share this part so that you can understand beyond what Master Xuan Hua want to share. I'll go back to the sharing. So his approach is because his character is like that and his understanding is like that. So he do it his way. So for us who have the condition to understand all this, then we can actually move on to develop the wisdom way. Means we act with wisdom following causes and conditions, the Dhamma way. We accord and flow. There is no rigidity. Depending on the condition, the situation, the individual, then the nature will have the understanding to manifest. Because of that, cultivation is not what you think. You have to go the Bodhisattva way to have this ability, to have that nature that can comprehend, understand, and accord and flow and develop all this. Otherwise, what you have as the Dhamma understanding is very limited. It can liberate the living being to have the sainthood realization, even until arahantship. But the understanding is very limited. It's like the Buddha said, the handful of leaf. That's it. Yeah. Then a lot of things are still beyond what the cultivator can comprehend and understand. And because of that, he is limited in his ability to take across living being, to liberate living being, to help living being liberate their mind, awaken. Okay, the next one is, and delights the heart of the multitude. So this part is very interesting too. So the words the Buddha speak are extremely gentle and harmonious. Everyone who hears them feel extremely happy. His speech seems to be very much in accord with his own way of seeing things. And this part is correct. Thus their hearts are delighted. They are all happy. Means the Buddha accord with his own understanding, way of seeing things, with his understanding. That's why he accord and flow. So that should be the approach, not to be rigid, not to be like very disciplinary tree in your approach. If I do that, I think a lot of the Kayamita will run away. You cannot join this Buddhist society, you cannot join other, you only join mine. Finish. You get angry, everybody. Okay, I'm tired of you for 24 hours. I tell you, nobody left. Oh, God. But it's okay because Shen Hua, his approach is different. That's why he's my refuge teacher. But when we take refuge, he never tell me that. He only tell me 10,000 baht within 3 months. And after that, he say, please, be compassionate towards him, because according to him, he has one vow. Not until all his disciples realize Sammasambuddhahood, he vowed not to realize his own final Sammasambuddhahood. So he said, don't keep him behind for too long. They say, that's why each and every one of you will say, you better diligently cultivate seriously towards liberating your own cultivation, leading to perfection of the 10 parameters, leading to Sama, Sambuddhahood, and other things. So that one is to motivate the disciples, what they call cultivator of the way who has taken refuge under him. And he has this middle name, I remember. My generation of disciple that he take in, he always used the word guo. Guo means the friction. Guo. So whatever your name is, like my name, Sang Jian Kun. So the Kun take away, become Zhang Guo Kun.
Jian take away, not Kun.
Yeah, Jian, sorry, Jian take away. Kun cannot take away. Jian take away, sorry. So the middle name take away and replace it with the friction Guo. Guo Kun. So it means all his disciples must have friction. That's why you can go the Bodhisattva way.
Otherwise, you can't. So in a way, he has his parami, his understanding, and his way of sharing. His approach is not bad, actually. Yeah, he has his way. I like the way he speaks the traditional Mandarin. That voice is very strong. And he also display his cultivation and understanding. When he speaks Dhamma, I like the way he speaks. These are very beautiful Dhamma. But his character and all things is, of course, they were different. That one I leave it to him. Everyone is different. Okay, we go back. I got only another 5 minutes before we stop the sharing. And delight the hearts of the multitude. So this one, I think I have control. His speech seems to be very much in accordance. Okay. That's Sariputta, say the Buddha yet again. Essentially speaking, to come right to the point, the Buddha has fully accomplished all of those unlimited, boundless Dhamma, which have never been taught before. There are unlimited Dhammas, which has never been taught before. And the Buddha has accomplished every one of them. However, accomplishing is accomplishing. And that is one thing. But now he said, stop. We also stop. So we stop here. Okay, good. I will mark this page. I also don't know what that thing is. But the next session, when we continue, will be interesting. The Buddha says, stop. When you can stop your mundane mind, its movement is very beautiful. Okay, we are at page 372, at the commentary panel. So it's mentioned here, today we will stop at the word stop. Okay, good. Okay. So now we can open up for second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
Good evening, Brother Joe.
Yeah,
Mrs. Joe, yeah. And all calamitous.
Mm.
I will start off with last week's sharing.
Mm.
It was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I remember I asked you this question.
Mm.
According to my understanding,
mm.
that whatever we can receive, whatever we can understand from the sutra,
mm.
is what we can receive, mm. or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, then and after that, Brother Joe was explaining to us that what we receive is according to probably our karma and our parami to receive.
Yeah. Cultivation, so, yeah. Parami, and all things. Yeah.
So subsequently, when I went back, I reflected.
Mm.
I said, what have I done not right,
mm.
or not enough?
Mm, sadhu.
You know? Then one of the things is like Bratio says, when I went back to Penang, I just lost my mindfulness.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the time that my sister passed away.
Mm, mm, yeah.
And consequently, today is the same day on the lunar month.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Death yeah, anniversary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's also my mother's same date.
Oh,
yeah.
So happened. Huh?
Yeah, on the lunar month is the same date.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I told myself, what can I do to walk back this path of Dharma,
mm-hmm.
that I sincerely want to develop the higher wisdom.
Mm, yeah, sadhu, sadhu, yeah.
And I keep thinking about it. And I say to myself, think of your attitude towards life.
Mm.
And thinking about it, I know that life has made me a very hard person, Bertie.
Yeah.
And subsequently, I think I become quite arrogant. And of course, with that, it makes me very difficult to accept a lot of things. And probably also the Dharma. And on Saturday itself, when I was listening to the Dharma, one of the talks that the past talk is the sixth patriarch, lesson four.
Oh, yes.
And during Alicia's, after Alicia's sharing, Brother Teo talked about the three turnings of the four noble truths. Hearing all of that, Brother Teo, it becomes so clear to me, Brother Teo. I asked myself, that's it. Have you done all this? Then I laughed to myself. We have not done this. It was such so detailed, very detailed explanation. Which I think that all calamiters actually should listen to. And with it comes the understanding that we know so little. It talks so clearly about it. And then I told myself, okay, first thing, I must go back to basics. Sila, Samadhi, and Panya.
Very good.
So the first thing is Sila. How can I keep my Sila? How can I improve on my virtues and blessings to walk this path? To receive these true teachings. On Sunday itself, when during the sharing, it was again the sixth patriarch, lesson 75. And during the talk, there's one part where Brother Teo was saying, the mundane mind creates the thought. And how can the let me think again.
Slowly, don't worry.
How can you cease your own creation?
The duality that the mundane
the thought
mind
must
create.
Die. When I heard this word, the thought must die, it's like in old letters, Brother Teo. What is strike my heart? I cry again, Brother Teo. It was so clear.
Yes.
Thought must die. Then subsequently, you said, but the thought refused to cease.
Because it wants to survive. Egoic. It wants to survive. It cannot commit suicide.
Yes.
It would not do that.
Because this is a question I've asked myself.
Yeah.
Yes, Brother Teo always says, we must develop sati.
Mindfulness.
For the thoughts to cease. Frankly, Brother Teo, how many of us can do it?
Now, so much better. Quite a few kilometers can now.
So it is something that I have to do it, Brother Teo.
Have to.
That is my next step.
Yes.
I know it's like I put myself, on a lot of expectation. But subsequently, I tell myself, if you do not have a goal, expecting to fail.
You have to work towards
an
ideal understanding that you want to perfect yourself, keep on improving yourself, to liberate yourself. So you have to work towards that one. That is the driving force. That is the sada that will move your form and mind. Because that sada, which is faith in the Buddha and his teaching, that will enable you to realize these beautiful teachings, is the driving force that will actually drive you. Like now you want to know, what have you not done? Which is a very, very good check, like Brother Teo came to know also, is a like health check. This one is spiritual check. What are the things you have not done? That's why you can go to the cultivation, develop it at one stage to quite beautiful progress. Then suddenly, because of certain causes and conditions, then you meet up with the, what they call inability to sustain that cultivation, then that delusion or that heedless, what they call movement of the mundane mind and the thought process, bring about the what they call fall in the cultivation. So when you realize that, that's why I remember in that sharing, I mentioned it very clearly as a hint to all paramita, where you fall from there after you have progressed, to get back is very tough, very difficult. It's not easy. So that part, that journey, need a lot of faith, a lot of sadha and virya to actually develop. That's why I gave you all the earlier warning is, don't be complacent whenever you progress. When you progress, you become complacent, you will have this problem. I realize a lot of cultivators, the way after they progress for a while, then they start to take it easy. They neglect their cultivation, the religious routine, everything. Then they fall back. And when they fall back, it's really hard. And they find it very difficult to come back. Yeah. But the thought that has the craving to come back is no longer like before. Before, the first time when you realize all these important pointers, like what you go through now, that word like become very bold to you, yeah? The thought must cease, the thought must stop. All this, like at that time, is struck you, because that moment, that condition is such that it become like the supporting causes and condition for you to really be like strongly motivated by such words. But like good food, after you tasted it a few times, it's no longer that special, that good really. So cultivation is the same. When it hit you, you must go all out. It's like they say, the goldsmith, or the what that, you know, what you call that, the ironsmith or what, that actually strike the blacksmith, when you make your sword or whatever, they really, while it's hot, very easy to mold, understand? You can strike it and make it into whatever shape you want. But when it cool down already, you want to bring it back, I tell you, it's a lot of difficult because it has hardened. Then you have to patiently heat it up again. And you have to go through it again. So that process, like the blacksmith, you must understand until you become very skillful. Then when they become very skillful, they will know what type of metal, what type of weapon that they want to make, or what, even spear or whatever. They have to actually do it with the understanding behind. Like quenching into water, the timing all must be correct one. After they strike and heat, then when to quench and how long to quench and how long to heat. All these are the understanding and adjustment that you need. It's just like our cultivation. You need to know the nitty gritty of all this final point of understanding of cultivation. You have to go through it. You have to understand it. Then when you go through it, understand it, then next time, or in future when you fall back or what, you straight away will see it one. You will never allow it to happen before because you have gone through. You will never. Because complacency really killed. Because my nature knew. I saw a lot of cultivators cannot do it because they become complacent. And that word, because it's in my nature, that word immediately surfaced one. When I was cultivating, I remember in the early days, when I developed progress, that word surface, do not be complacent. Nobody taught me this life. How come it manifests? Because in the past, my nature, when I cultivated, I must have learned this the hard way. That's why after that, I keep on reminding myself. If I were to come out to teach, I will remind cultivator the way, never become complacent. Yeah. Because once you become complacent, this thing will happen. And many cultivators have to go through this. So for your case, I think PG is very good. Because now that you have all this understanding, the new motivation is the thought must cease. But because the thought is egoic, it refuses to die. So that is very natural, because how can the thought die? Well, its entire existence is based on that they are the true entity. Understand? It's just like you are a religious person. You believe in God. Okay? Can be Christianity or whatever religion that believe in God. That is your whole basis. You know? When somebody tell you God don't exist, you cannot take it, understand? Your whole belief system collapses. It's just like the thought. The thought must cease. I must die. The hell with you. Like any individual, he will tell you, the hell with you. You mean I must die before I die? But they cannot understand. Like my teacher, Ajayana, said, you must learn how to die before you die. If you don't know how to die before you die, you don't understand what death is. Actually, finally, when you understand, no one die, nothing die. That's why you got no fear, nothing. Means you must know how to die, means you must see the death process that people say death. There is no such thing as somebody died. It's just the consciousness that's separate from the form, the causes and conditions that supported the elimination of that human fire aggregate, the so-called human being. Any of the condition that supported it ceased, then there is separation of consciousness from the form. Then you say he died. Actually, he didn't die. It's the form goes away of nature. Consciousness had to separate where it can no longer stay inside. So when you understand all this, then you realize no one died. Then what is there to fear? What is there to worry about death? Death is not what you think. Death is a conventional word used by living beings within the conditioned world. When you cease to have that consciousness, to animate that form and mind to become a living being, then they say you die. In the first place, the fire aggregate of form and mind is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not a permanent unchanging entity. It's just that the causes and condition has ceased or has become different. That's why you call it death. In truth, in reality, he know you, he know me. No one die, no one born. And there is no such thing as a being that you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me. This is I. That's why everything is non-self, not what you think. So when you penetrated all this, awakened to all this, then you become so different. That's why when I say you must learn how to die before you die, is to have that understanding. The other understanding is to die out your defilement, your delusion, your sacrality. When that one ceases, then the mind liberate. The mind liberate means what? It knows the form and mind is not real, not him. That's why it sees. The mind realizes itself and sees. So the cessation of the thought process is to realize that nature within. And that nature within, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness. But to realize enlightenment, which is nirvana, the cessation of form and mind, that pure awareness also must cease. That's why you don't have to fear that without thought, you will die. No such thing. Because thought, like Hui Ning, after he heard from the fifth patriarch, this mind, he said, the mundane mind, you must learn how to use it and yet not deluded by it. You remember? That mundane mind is for you to use. Fear is a tool for you to come to this existential world to live life, to experience life, to develop the cultivation, to go through all this. So it's a tool, T-O-O-L. So use it, not to be deluded by it. If it's a tool like the knife, then I know I should use it to serve me well, not to harm myself, hurt myself, and hit out and others with that tool. That is a wrong way of using that tool. That is delusion. That's why the user of thought, the user of the mundane mind is very important. So learn to use that mundane mind and separate from it to understanding, because there is another nature which is just aware. Without thought, who are you? That realization is very beautiful. Without thought, even when you are in the awareness-based meditation, when you are able to stabilize the awareness, then you stay inside there and find out. Without thought, who are you? What are you? What is the entity? You really can realize it on, can understand it on. But the awareness is without thought on. When you stay with that thing without the thought, you will come to a great realization. You are nothing. You are nobody. Because that being is not you. The entity, the egoic mind, is the mundane mind, nothing to do with your nature. And that realization is so profound, that's why it actually cut through all delusion and awaken the cultivator. So this is the part that I hope can help many Kaya Mita, including you, PA. You continue. Yeah.
Yeah, Brother. During the reflection, I also realized that my thoughts, when it arise randomly, most of the time is negative. And knowing that, and I told myself, you can always change the way you think. So every time a negative thought arises, like Brother says, abandon it and change it. And I've been doing it all this while.
I do.
And going back to Sunday's talk, so after that little incident, the whole talk, I was crying.
Oh, Sadhu.
And when it comes to the part where it was talking about Bodhidharma, and subsequently Poika, I cried. I really think there is a deep connection with these two great beings.
Sadhu.
And there's one part when Bodhidharma was about to leave. His disciples together.
Together.
And ask them what they have learned.
How much have they learned?
And so one by one, they tell him what they have learned. When it comes to Huike,
Sadhu, that one is the best.
He just stood up and pay respect. Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma says that is it.
That's it. Because Huike have understood.
You have received everything I understand and realize.
Because for those who have the understanding, they will understand that the Dhamma is beyond word. The only way is to express your gratitude. Because no amount of explanation can give the answer. But that understanding is beyond words. That's why Huike, he composed himself, he pay respect. After he pay respect, he arise. Then Bodhidharma knew, straight away rejoice. Nobody can do that. Unless the cultivator of the way has the understanding. Otherwise, you must know the mundane mind is too eager to share they still have the minor conceit and the son of, oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand. I have penetrated it. Then they got a lot of things to share. And so whatever they share depends on their understanding. But the ultimate understanding is without words. Yeah, all these are 文字, words. Words can never explain the truth. So that realization which is beyond word can only be expressed through silence. That's why six beta Bodhidharma Neo Huike has got it. And the other thing about cultivation is the cultivator of the way, they have a nature that can actually understand one. They can sense one, it's sensitive one. Then when that cultivator of the way or their disciple or what has developed the transformation and understanding, that guide or that teacher that has that nature can sense it one. That's why the Buddha knew. The Buddha can sense, and he said he will confirm it. So and so has realized the truth. And that time, most of them became Arahant. And some, they became Anagami. And some, they become the Sotapan or Sakadagami. So depending on what type of sainthood realization, Sakyamuni Buddha will know. He can sense it. Because the cultivator of the way that go through the transformation, they will have that what they call understanding, and this understanding can be like detected. That's why through all the sharing, my nature also can know. Because this is not something that you can commit to memory and then use it as a knowledge to actually describe it or share and believe that you also have it. You cannot, because the way, the one that has not developed the understanding and the real, the way they share, you can use the same word, everything, but it is very different. And the person who have the ability to understand, they listen, they will know already. This one is knowledge from the thought process, developing the what they call understanding through knowledge, not the actual cultivation. So all this, they can happen. So don't worry about what we call progress or whatever. Just diligently, sincerely cultivate. As you cultivate, as you develop the understanding, your understanding will arise, then your nature will manifest. Then cultivator of the way who has the ability to understand or sense, they will know and they will rejoice. So this aspect of cultivation also very few people can understand. But if you have gone through the cultivation, you have developed this ability, then you can actually come to understand, and you can share all this with cultivator all the way, so that in the future when they go through, they will also have that type of ability, and then the joy will arise. That's why all this, like I explained in the past, unless you go through, you can never understand all. But initially, no harm listening to it, because as you cultivate, you need people who has the deeper understanding or who has gone through all this to guide you, to actually explain certain thing that is ahead of your cultivation. Otherwise, it's not easy to actually stay on course. Stay on course means not to deviate. Sometimes you can like get stagnant at certain stage of the cultivation, very long, very, very long. Unless you meet a cultivator on the way who has the understanding to give you the pointer and the explanation, and then you break free and you move very fast. Otherwise, you can be trapped there for very long. So these are all possibilities. So what is important is whenever you listen to truth, have an open mind. Just listen. If that cultivator of the way has wisdom that is beyond yours, the cultivator will know, unless you are using thought base. Because when you listen, you will have the understanding this particular type of sharing is so different. It's way beyond what you have comprehended or understood or realized. That's why it's very different. So sometimes when I develop all this initial cultivation that time, when I hear truth or I read about truth or I hear from other people sharing, most of the time I can't find any truth or Dhamma inside the sharing one. But when I meet true cultivator of the way, people who have the understanding and the so-called cultivation and parami, that my nature is like suddenly drawn towards it. One, that my nature will know one. I will follow this type of cultivator and this type. I will continue to listen until of course one day when I realize I also have the understanding already. Then after that, I will move on my own. I will develop my own cultivation. Then, as my nature knows, it will continue to evolve. It will continue to evolve. So when I look back, there was one guy, I remember, one of the one that he know my nature and he know I will not follow anyone. I will not follow anyone. Although I will attend their session, I will like develop the understanding. But end of the day, he know I will not follow anyone. That's why he never asked me who you want to follow. He never. But the other two, he asked them. Because they know they have that nature to either follow her or follow the other monk. Honestly. But my nature, I never follow anybody else. My nature will just evolve and move to develop the understanding. Wherever there is understanding, my nature will move. That's why I realized after I went through the cultivation, I have a lot of guide, a lot of teachers that I move on from one to another. And sometimes within that 3 year period, I remember 86, 87, 88, before 89. Oh, the teacher come, the guy come, the book come, everything come. During that period, very funny, a lot of this thing happened. Then after that, for a very long period, no more teacher, no more guy. For the last 30 over years, even until today. But of course, like Krishnamurti, I continue to read his quote and all those things. I find his quote very beautiful, very interesting. But apart from that, as this nature inherit from the spiritual nature, then as it develops back its own understanding, then it will understand all this in a very different way. That's why it will move in a very different movement. So now is the time for my nature to actually share and give back to cultivators of the way. And this is what my nature is. I realize because the way I come is like that. When I share, I can share very profound, very deep Dhamma. And cultivator of the way that has the causes in it, they can receive very fast. That's why when I come, I realize my nature also same. I only need to hear truth and I can receive very fast. Sometimes the person who shares the thing, he or she may not understand the thing truly, clearly or fully, but my nature already understands. So the way I give is the way I receive. That's why that nature's law is very powerful. You reap what you sow, very true. So because of that, later on when I came up to share, I realized not everybody was like me, can understand things so fast, can grasp things so fast. I realized I cannot. So I had to revert back to basic teachings and all those things. So like what you describe is very good. you are unique to you, Vijay. That's why your way is you follow whatever that manifests. So after you've been through this, you will become very determined again. So this new sadha of faith and virya, which is the driving force, can actually bring back the understanding and the cultivation for you to move again. So sadhu with you. So make full use of it. Sadhu.
Raju, I think I've come to my own conclusion too, that during that time, when I was crying, I keep saying, I am sorry, I'm sorry. It's like almost nonstop, I keep saying, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of the session itself,
mm-hmm.
I was crying so much that I was so exhausted. So I during meditation time itself, I told myself, okay, lah, just sit down and meditate. But I couldn't meditate. And something just came to me. Go and bow and ask forgiveness.
Oh, sadhu. That one is very important.
Yeah, gratitude from all the great beings and sadhu, all sadhu. My teachers, guides, and masters. Past and present.
Sadhu, sadhu.
I think that was the blockage, gratitude.
Oh, sadhu.
Because
sadhu.
Maybe from the distant past until now, I have... Maybe because of my very cynical personality,
I have
offended all the great beings through my action, speech, or thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great lesson to me, Raju.
Sadhu. Possible.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sadhu. Good.
So from that, I have to put in a lot of hard work.
So the bowing will help. Your ask of forgiveness will definitely help. So all this, when you already have the understanding and the drive, the determination, the faith, you this time make sure no more complacency, no more looking back. You go on. Cultivation is like that. No matter how busy you are in your daily activity, sometimes I remember that time when I was counting, I was still working. Yeah. For your case, you should be easier because you are retired. Yeah? But you have to go through life because your experience in life is not thorough enough. I use the word not thorough enough because you have not developed enough of the exposure and all those things. For my case, it's different because my nature has controlled a lot of all these things. So when I comes to cultivation, I can go all out to do it. And that's why 86 to 88 until the end, I think, before 89. I went all out to cultivate. That's how that thing become possible. Then after that, when I already stabilized, then I knew what this thing was. Then all the things happen, it fall into place. Then from there on, I got no more problem. So that 2-3 years, I remember, despite what career life is all about, and at that time I was at the prime of my career. I was 40 something years old, 45, 46 and that. Then I remember I have a family. And I have a lot of work to do, a lot of duty, I would say. But because of the clarity of the mind, the understanding, I was able to actually blend in completely. And the daily mindfulness was not a problem at all. Throughout the day, I was away, mindful. And I was doing the cultivation nonstop, even in the office, in the meeting, everywhere, before I sleep, when I went into the sleep. So that 2-3 years was extraordinary. That's why that virya, that sadha, that drive is because the vow also that actually brought forth the causes and conditions. That's why when you have all this fall into place, your nature will move your nature will develop the understanding and you become very different. So this life, the Bodhisattva vow is very important. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then make all the aspiration, even the guideline, the right view, the right understanding, how to break coming obstruction from all those possibility. Once you have all this in place, then in future when you come, you would have resolved most of your problem. Then in future, when you continue your cultivation, you become very different. Yeah. This particular sasana, a lot of you also have your causes and conditions, but because in the past, you didn't have this type of understanding of the Bodhisattva way cultivation. That's why a lot of cultivators of the way I realize, because they lack this understanding, the right view and the ability to commit themselves to plant the seed of Bodhi or those things until it's so strong. Then in future, when they come back, when the sasana is no more, they get lost. They get lost. Then because of coming obstruction, complacency set in, and a lot of all this actually hinders the cultivation process. That's why different cultivators of the way, they have different what they call karmic obstacle or karmic obstruction. So in the retreat, I remember I also shared, Sui just sent out, I think going to send out soon, the title, the three type of karmic obstruction. That one you must listen. One of them I mentioned is the spiritual obstruction, spiritual cultivation obstruction, which Shen Hua didn't explain. How actually it can happen, because that one is linked to activity coming obstruction. The first one is the primary and secondary retribution obstacle. Then the last one is, of course, is affliction obstacle. So affliction obstacle, you cannot run away. Now this is your karmic debt, your karmic affliction. You have to pay back one. That's why if you don't have the Dhamma, your karmic affliction obstacle is very severe one. And like life is like hell and everything go wrong. But most people, when they come, the primary and the secondary, or they call it dependent retribution, these two depend on one's cultivation. The first one, especially the primary one, means when you are born into this existential world, who are your parents? What are their DNA, all those things, and your coming inheritance? That one is actually determined mainly by your karma and your cultivation. But if you are a great being, then you can choose to come. When you choose to come, then this DNA thing is not so straightforward. You are the karmic one, you got no choice on. Karma say you come. You did those things, this karmic create a causal inclination override. Then your parent, you got no choice on. You become that. Then depend on your karmic. If you last time irresponsible, you drink a lot, you never take care of your family, you neglect your duty, then this life you come, you will have a set of parents who also do this to you. You reap what you sow. You cannot back. But for cultivator of the way, it's different. Like I explained in the retreat, I came this life and I chose my parent. My nature chose my parent. And my parent, the DNA, everything, will have to match mine, what my nature needs. Otherwise, they cannot become the chosen parent. They have to wait or whatever. So cultivator of the way, when you have this understanding, the causes and conditions that arise for the primary retribution coming obstacle, or I don't call it an obstacle, the thing that you receive through karmic how you come, how your DNA all, is not decided by karma. It's decided by your nature through the understanding. And they have to complement your requirement and your need. That's why that part is also not in Chen Hua's sharing. But he mentioned that three things, but he didn't explain what these karmic obstructions are. Because it's not easy. He used the words only, and they mainly, maybe in their Mandarin text, they have some explanation. Yeah? But inside the commentary, there was none. So I elaborated on it, then I shared it. Yeah? Then after that is the activity one. Yeah? Activity one is, they talk about mainly your career, like last time when you are a boss that is unreasonable or whatever. Then you come back, your career, you will also have that type of boss that will deal with that type of problem, and you will get yourself entangled. Maybe this is what you did to people. Then whether you have supportive bosses or bosses that try to give you problem and make your life difficult, it depends on how you treat your subordinate in the past. So this activity, obstacle, they only talk about career, livelihood. But the main one is actually cultivation. Cultivation. So if you have karmic obstruction, you have to ask for forgiveness. Otherwise, you get obstructed. The spiritual cultivation, karmic obstruction. And that one, very few people understand. That's why that part you have to do. Yeah. So spiritual cultivation, karmic obstacle. You have to ask for forgiveness. The yellow card one, the three category of beings. Yeah. Of course, the first one is a triple gem. A triple gem was important. After that is all beings. Yeah. Whosoever from the distant past. Then the last one is whatever not covered under there. Because we don't know. We are over the eons and eons over there. We could have done a lot of nonsense which we don't know. So we cover everything. Whatever not included also, we ask for forgiveness. So if you're able to go through this exhaustive list, then you will be able to break free from your coming obstruction. Then when you come, the next, I won't say you have to wait for the next asana, no need. Even before this asana finish, you all would have become beautiful. Then even without asana, when you come, this nature will manifest. It will arise, it will nurture. Then you will know what to do. You will know how to move your cultivation and progress according. That's why this life understanding is very unique. This one is what Maitreya want my nature to actually teach, to share this. Yeah. There are two parts to it. One is the true Dhamma. The other one is the Bodhisattva way cultivation. Because that nature of Maitreya knew my form and mind with my past spiritual understanding. I have this ability to share this, and I have developed this understanding over a very long period of cultivation already. That's why in the year 2008, the message came and requested me to actually share this. So all these are very beautiful, meant to be. And hopefully, Kayamita can have the faith and the understanding to actually make full use of all this. That is the reason why the website also come about. The transcript, everything comes about. The sharing comes about. And with all this, it will be there. Understand not? It's just not what I speak, they're not recorded. Nothing has been preserved. Then very difficult for living being to develop understanding, like the Buddha's time. You had to wait for Ananda to repeat. But Ananda, when he repeat, he may not know the full depth of his understanding and wisdom. He repeat the words. That's why you need cultivator of the way to have the ability to decipher and understand what the words are. That's why the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma is initially like Sakyamuni came 2,600 years ago, they only need to preserve the words and the sana through the chanting and all things. Then over the years, of course, the cultivator or the way they tend to like mess up the whole thing, because like any truth, when you pass down the words, they get actually become very different. Like you pass the message from one person to the next, over 10, the whole message becomes something else already. But luckily, the chanting that preserved it was like our school song and national song. It can be preserved for quite a while. Then when you have cultivated all the way who have the understanding and the awakening from the past, they can understand all this, then they can disciple, then they can teach differently. That's why there is this era within the Buddhist, we call it the evolution of the Buddhist culture, or the Buddhist, we call it the Dhamma, or the Sasana, the rise and fall of Sasana, means when there is no condition for such teaching to arise during that period, even though the Sasana is around, but you realize there are less and less enlightened beings because the potency of the teaching is gone, and most of that has the teaching has been like lost, the true teaching, because it has become thought based, it has become knowledge based, Dhamma based, which is no longer the awakening time. Then now you have to wait for maybe at that time the sixth patria, Bodhidharma sixth patria to arise. Then from sixth patria again it rise, then it fall again. Then now you need those true cultivators of the way to arise, to share all this again, to teach all this again. There are, but not many, not many. That's why the four great tradition of our Buddhist tradition, they are good teachers, good Dhamma masters. So there are also some who are quite famous, but maybe not listed. So it depends on our affinity, our understanding. So my nature rejoices in all those who can benefit from the sharing, and also wish all Kayamitas to develop the faith, the Saddha, the Virya, and diligently with perseverance walk this path, and develop all of the understanding that you need to understand, then stabilize all this understanding and develop very, very strong affirmation, or what they call Adithan, is the vow. Plant the seed of Bodhi with strong faith, diligence, and understanding and sincerity. Then from there, determine strongly to have this understanding and cultivation life after life, whenever you have to come, whether you choose to come or you have to come. Because most of you may not have the stability yet, you cannot choose to come yet. You may have to come first. Then later on, when you can have the stability to choose to come, then very easy already at that time. The cultivation will become very much easier. Okay, I think we have to end. So we rejoice. Thanks, PJ. You want to sum up? Maybe 1-2 minutes.
Pratio, I would like to express my eternal gratitude, Pratio, to all my teachers, guides, and masters, and all the great beings, including Pratio. Pratio, let me pay my respects to you.
Thank you. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so we will do the closing puja. Akasata cha bhumata
Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana Eta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabasampati Siddhiya Idang menya tina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kathim Bodhisattvas, and all the worthy ones. Let me end. Thank you. Sadhu.